Secretary of Public Affairs will come to order. And committee, good afternoon, and thank you for being here. The order of events today will be House Bill 2587, followed by House Bill 2650, then House Bill 3156, and then House Bill 2129. That said, we'll open the public hearing on House Bill 2587 and Representative Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, for the record, Representative Jim Hill, House District 5. Coming before you today to talk about House Bill 2587, the bill that I introduced at the request of a gentleman, which I entered into a conversation with him one day after during the midst of the presidential vote counting, and had an earful for me as to what we should do in Oregon. And I've always said if someone has a better idea that we'll introduce it, and so I introduced the bill at the request of Doug Scott. I apologize, he could not get off work today to come down and testify today. And so, but in those discussions, in terms of, I think he saw Oregon's continued use of the punch ballot in the view of what occurred in Florida as the ability to taint the perception of Oregon elections. I know that in my own use, and I live in Washington County, and Washington County is one of the, I believe there's 9 counties in Oregon that continue to use the punch ballot. I mean, I know that I've had my difficulties when you get those long general election ballots where you have measures with specific numbers, and those numbers don't correspond to the numbers on the punch card, and as you're trying to go through and be efficient and vote on numerous issues, you accidentally punch the wrong hole, and then you're sort of posed with a question: do you get in your car and drive down to the county, or do you just say, "Oh well," and move on? And you know, and I don't know, either in some race or some other issue, either be counted or discounted as being an overvote because you punched the wrong number. I think one of the things with the punch ballot, one of the rationales in terms of why Oregon needs to look to stop using the punch ballot is specifically because of vote by mail. The punch card system was meant to be used in a device. The device was not intended for your kitchen table. I think in terms of, as we look forward, there are better technologies out there that give a perception of more accuracy and user friendliness in terms of to the voter. I would make that point. I guess it's 7 out of 36 counties in Oregon still use the punch account. And then with Washington, Clackamas, and Lane, it represents about 40% of the voters in Oregon can use the punch ballot. I guess there was a joint county state task force that recommended placing the vote tally system with an eye toward, quote, accuracy and user friendliness to the voter. And so there's already initiatives moving forward in terms of how to do that. And in Washington County, we've used the punch card system for 15 years. My county clerk, Jenny Kingsley, tells me that during the November election, she got a dozen or so calls from voters complaining about punch cards, a couple of them threatening to boycott future elections if they kept getting punch cards in the mail. Just this month, 2 voters sent in envelopes filled full of Chad that they apparently had punched out of their ballots for the March election. So, some anecdotes. With that, do you have any questions?
Hi, thank you. Do we have questions? Representative Berger.
Yes. Did you take into consideration the counties that had done this and had had to pay for the change themselves earlier?
No.
In regard to, because wouldn't this, as you pointed out, wouldn't this trigger the unfunded mandate so that the state would be required then to step in and fund this?
I am not sure. It says the fiscal I'm looking at says it may trigger the constitutional provision, but the voters in their wisdom approved ballot measure 30, and we can't do much about that in terms of whether or not it's you know, the question of fairness in terms of counties who had previously done it on their own dime. My bill does not address the issue of funding. It just simply says, don't do it. I do think it is a county issue, and the county should bear the cost.
Okay, follow-up, please.
Follow-up.
Representative Hill, what is the threshold? What triggers the, on 30? Which one of the, what number here would trigger it? Do you know?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ritter, I have no idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Representative Walker.
In looking at this, some counties, and I'm from one of those counties that has, as is Representative Wilson here, do we have the equipment already in place? Some of the counties, I don't think, if we mandate this, which they will view this as a mandate, if we do this, have there been any need to studies or exploration of whether they could share? I don't see that here, and I just wondered if you would address that issue if counties could share counting machines and printers and that kind of thing if they were required to do this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Walker, I don't know in terms of, I think the issue will be a capacity issue in terms of whether sufficient capacity to count the ballots. I think one of the issues in terms of coming out of our mail balloting is the length of time, and as some of us know, that can be excruciating as you sit around and waiting trying to figure out why in the world we can't seem to count our ballots when we think we have a nice efficient system. We wait around for days after the election trying to count ballots. So I think it would be a question of capacity, and I'm not familiar enough with any of the technologies to understand in terms of if it's a question of how many more machines do you need to count specific ballots. But that, I mean, that would be, I think, a good task for the Association of American Counties to talk about, and I'm sure they'll be prepared to answer some of those questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I think what they're trying to show us here in the fiscal, and I remember this is the standard, is that ballot measure 30, or that section now of the Constitution, is triggered at 1/100th of 1% of the general fund budget, or the total budget of the county, which would show in almost all of these cases that you would trigger the mandates or that section of the Constitution. But although I can't remember the exact standards, and I'm not advocating this, that section of the Constitution also allows the legislature to supersede it, I believe, at a certain supermajority vote.
Mr. Chairman, that's Article 11, Section 15, Sub 6. It's a 3/5 vote.
Yeah. And Mr. Chairman, the other thing is while I think it might be beneficial, although I know if you attach anything with the fiscal in this building to it, you've almost sentenced it to death. That if there was some sharing of the cost, I think there might be more acceptance by the counties. The one thing I did want to comment on, though, and I perhaps Representative Hill could comment also, he's commented about the punch card ballot, and I know the Democratic leader has done an extensive amount of study on it, so he's very familiar with it, and I don't know how many people, I'm from a punch card county, and I do think you've already explained that, it is particularly confusing. I mean, you get a ballot that has, you might have to vote more than 50 or 60 times in a general election. The numbers don't correspond to the measures. So you could be voting on measure 98 and being asked to vote yes 47, no 49. The other thing I've always wondered, and I don't know if Representative Hill has inquired about this, is, and I don't know if it could be utilized for this, is whether that form of voting would ever run into ADA problems. Because of the level of dexterity required, the level of eyesight required, the smallness of the numbers on the, I think it could potentially be a lawsuit in waiting. So, just some comments.
For the questions. Why, thank you. I'm going to recess the public hearing on House Bill 2587, and I am going to open hearing on House Bill 2650, and I'm doing this in order to allow Representative Hill to deliver his testimony and move on. Then I will go back to 2587.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Representative Jim Hill, House District 5. Again, colleagues, this bill was a result of the conversation with Doug Scott about how, with a close electoral vote. He thought it, that Maine's procedure in terms of apportioning electoral votes based upon the two electoral votes that we get from senators being apportioned based upon the statewide vote, and that electoral votes in the individual congressional districts be apportioned based upon how those electoral congressional districts voted for the presidential be apportioned that way, rather than a winner-take-all approach. That measure was also introduced at his request. I think it's a valid point in terms of expressing the will of the voters and taking it down to a lesser level. I, to answer the obvious question, I haven't figured out if that would have changed the results or not in Oregon. So I honestly don't know.
Thank you. Representative Hill, appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
I will close the public hearing, or recess, I guess I should say, the public hearing on House Bill 2650, and I will reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2587. I'm going to have Representative Gardner and Senator Metzger, please, and Senator Brown.
Just don't punch us out. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Metzger, State Senator, District 14, and of course with me, State Senator Kate Brown, District
7.
Seven.
It's in the lucky number 7, which is the amount I won my first race by.
And Representative Dan Gardner. I guess I'll start out, Mr. Chair. I think the committee should have a copy of this graph that I handed out. House Bill 2587, dealing with the elimination of punch card ballots, I also have a similar bill in the Senate side. I think the overriding question, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, is simply a policy question. I think you can deal with the minutiae in terms of it when this is applicable and others. And as you are probably well aware, we've been working with the Secretary of State's office and trying to discuss some of the federal monies that may be available. But if you look at this graph, I think this pretty well articulates the need that has been demonstrated with punch card ballot. If you look at the counties here, and especially as the counties grew larger, so you had more and more results to tally, those who did not have an indicated candidate for president were far greater among those voters using the punch card system by almost double than those that were using the optical scan system. I will tell you that personally, I think, as Representative Hill said, I think it is right that rather than bar future technology, I think the important thing is that we eliminate old technology. So I'm not going to advocate for a particular system other than to say that it's clear that the punch card system is antiquated. And we need to move away from that in terms of having accuracy. I think moving a date to 2004 with the amendment so that this is gives time for federal monies to come and meet that need, I think, is wise and prudent. In Clackamas County, of course, we use the punch card ballot. Chief Clerk John Kaufman is a strong advocate of getting rid of the punch card ballot. I think it's important, regardless of how we see how those expenditures may come, and they may very well come by putting the policy in place, Mr. Chair, and putting $1 in it to show, number one, to all citizens, most importantly, that we want to have the most accurate voting system possible. And we set that policy in place while we work and see where those dollars may come to actually enact the legislation. But I think the evidence is clear that the punch card system, while it has served us well and sometimes is certainly not the best system today, and especially with our vote by mail, in which you don't have those machines and you have to manually do them yourselves and see that those chads are removed, I think exacerbates the problem. And strongly urge your support of moving away from antiquated technology and making our election system as strong and viable as possible. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. I, too, would urge your support of this particular legislation. I think it's very simple. I think it's about making our voting process user-friendly. It doesn't get any easier than that. I know that Representative Verger asked some questions about how to pay for this. I was back in D.C. a couple of weeks ago, and in talking with federal legislators, expressed concern, as did many of my cohorts from other states, about dollars. I think they're going to put funding
available to us, and I think it's going to be available on a first-come, first-served basis, so I'd really encourage us to move forward on this legislation. I do think it's appropriate that we receive federal help. I do think it's appropriate that the state also put in some dollars to make this happen at the county level. But I also think it's appropriate for the counties to pay a portion of the cost of replacing punch card ballots. Obviously, most of the counties have already gone that route and spend the dollars. I do think it's appropriate for the counties to pay a share of making this happen. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Garay.
Good afternoon. Whomever would like to respond, the seven counties that haven't, that are still using the punch card, what is the reason that while other counties have moved forward, those counties have not changed from the punch card? Is that a financial reason or?
For the record, my name is Dan Gardner, State Representative from House District 13. Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, I think that would be a more appropriate question to ask them. I could only guess. I have not talked to them, but I would say more than likely it was from a financial consideration. I think certainly given the national stories that were done on this after the Florida situation, that seemed to be the case rather uniformly around the country as a matter of allocating toward elections seemed to be given other priorities toward the bottom of the list.
Thank you. Thank you. Representative Gardner, would you like to continue your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I guess not to be too repetitive, I'm just here today certainly to support House Bill 2587. Senator Brown and I have sponsored a similar piece of legislation that's actually in this committee as well. But this one gives more latitude and just simply in to the counties in getting rid of the punch card system rather than mandating a particular style that they may have. I think the notion of every vote counts out there is a little lost on the electorate given the lack of confidence in the punch card system given the results of this last election. Whether it be nationally or locally, I think my concern comes more from a local perspective. I watched a lot of what happened in some of the larger counties, Washington, Clackamas, where there were occasionally a case where a punch card was mailed out and a different booklet was as well. All these things add to some of the confusion that goes on out there in electoral process, and as we go away from this system, I think we can have a lot more clarity in our elections and a lot more confidence of voters out there. With us being a vote-by-mail system, I would say that unless we decide to mail the machine out to every single voter out there that's in a punch card county, that we need to get rid of this system so that they're not sitting at their kitchen tables with a blunt object poking out little pieces of paper. And I just say that I certainly agree with my colleagues about the federal funding as well as the state needing to put some dollars into this, too. I know there's a lot of discussion on that, but I believe it's part of our responsibility in order to assure every voter out there that their vote is counted and counted accurately. We have that responsibility to assure that accuracy, and I would certainly hope this committee would support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for our panel? All right, appreciate it. Next up, Ed Dennis, Secretary of State's office, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Ed Dennis. I work for the Secretary of State. What I'm handing out to you right now is just a packet of information. There were several folks, I sort of mentioned it socially in a couple of different settings, House Bill 2587, and it got folks exercised. My social settings are usually in Washington County, so that's where you see the response from. And I'm just going to briefly walk you through a couple, like one highlight per page of testimony. The first person here, Chuck Riley, he's a voter in Washington County. He's actually done some research on this. He's talked to the county clerk there. And he argues in the beginning, he gives three or four arguments why punch cards are good, why that technology is good. So any of you who are interested in that, please look over those three bullets on the blue piece of paper. And then he addresses some real concerns. And it's mostly, it's nothing about Florida. It's about, not being that friendly as you're sitting at the kitchen table. That's basically what he addresses. And the next page is Kathy Eaton from the League of Women Voters, and she notes, if federal funds are available to pay for a significant portion of the cost, we support legislation which would enable the state to move towards a more standardized ballot form. That is certainly the position of the Secretary of State's office as well. The third page, Walter Gorman, the red page, it's really a very fair and balanced. He gives a lot of kudos to the elections professionals, but does talk about how he had to glue a Chad back on and hoped it would be counted correctly, and found other examples of that sort. On the next page, on the yellow piece of paper, there's a teacher, Walter Hellman from Hillsborough, and he wanted me to ask all of you, how many of you have ever taken a Scantron test and never had to erase a bubble that you had filled in? He's basically trying to make the point that with other forms of ballots, you can actually erase and fix a little bit easier than you can with a punch card. And the next page, the pink page, this gentleman notes how punch cards didn't have candidate names or measures printed on the punch cards, and it was a nightmare for some of the voters he interacted with in the last election. And he also noted that for his particular ballot, a no vote on Measure 88 needed to be recorded by punching a Chad with a number 89. And he felt that was confusing for folks, and I guess they shared that with him. So I wanted to make sure this information got to you and got entered into the record. And I'd also like to say that the Secretary of State is en route. Hopefully he will be here and be able to get in on the record as well. I have a handout, if he doesn't make it, that illustrates many of the federal pieces of legislation that all of them uniformly thus far have a require a 20 to 25% state and local match. In other words, the feds are looking at 75 to 85% of the costs. And that is the sort of proposal that we are supporting here, is something that spreads those costs around. With that, I would entertain any questions you may have.
Thank you. Just one briefly from me. Would you shed any light on your take on the issue of mandates, your measure 38? Do you have any particular take on that?
Well, yes. It may or may not be a mandate that Representative Hill was accurate. However, and that is a legal decision for folks to decide, and that basically comes out of an opinion that suggests that this is not mandating a new service. It's mandating the same service done in a different way. It is the position of the Secretary of State's office that this would represent a mandate and that we should step up and work it out between the federal and state, and possibly down the road, if we were to bring that into discussion, the county dollars. I hope that is clear enough, Representative Wilson.
Thank you. Good enough for me. Representative Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dennis, it was mentioned, I think, by Representative Hill, of the possibility of amending this to be an effective date of 2004. And I presume some sort of maybe note to the e-boards to work out something in the interim if federal funds were forthcoming. Is that something the Secretary of State's office is supporting?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we've had Mr. Chair, Representative March, members of the committee. Yes. As a matter of fact, we've hosted a couple of meetings now with all of the legislators who've had eliminate punch cards legislation in an effort to bring folks together around a single piece of legislation, the one that's before you today. And that has always been the plan, for us to get behind something that pushes the date back, because the clerks need flexibility and provides the funds so that this is in place by the 2004 presidential. That has always been our goal. And so I actually think the amendments may be on the way, and you may actually see them in the course of this hearing.
Thank you for the questions. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Next up, I would like to have ask you to come up in panels of three. I'm going to try to categorize you, those who are on particular sides of the issues, together. Gene Mackey, Annette Newingham, and Tom Hughes, please.
Thank you.
welcome to committee. Good to have you here today. And I will let you decide who would go first, and please identify yourself for the record.
I'm Jean Mackey from Clackamas County. Representative Wilson and members of the committee, much of what I came to say as a voter in Clackamas County has already been addressed. However, I'm one of those people who did have a problem voting the ballot, and it was because the little numbers got confusing, and I punched the wrong number. So I thought, okay, now what do I do? Well, I could call the office. I looked, and by God, that little cardstock thing hadn't come off, so I pushed it back in. Then later, when I heard about all the problems in Florida, I wondered if that really counted the way I wanted it to. I thought I'd remedied it. I didn't glue it, but I don't know if it then became one of those that didn't get counted. So that troubled me a great deal. I'd never had a problem with voting the punch card when we had voting machines, because I felt like when I punched that stylus through, that little piece of paper went out. But I never have felt that way since I'd voted and discovered that I had to pull it off. In talking with friends of mine, they've identified some of the similar issues that other people have said here, one of which was that frustration mounted tremendously and almost quit voting because you had to check after everyone to be sure it was pulled off. That could cut down on voter participation. We don't have, as mentioned, the blunt objects, the objects that we use at home do not effectively push that little chad through. Another friend of mine helped some people in a nursing home. It was about a two-hour process. Aging eyes do not see those little numbers very well and are having a hard time making that transfer. Also, shaking hands cause pushing the wrong places. So these are some things that add to confusion and frustration over voting. And to me, voting, that ballot, is one of the most important things that we do as citizens of our country. That's the one time when we express our will, and I hope it's counted. We want it to be it that way. So I would certainly urge, even though I know that it's going to cost money, I think it's worth it. I hope there are federal funds to help. I hope there's a way the counties can do this. And I certainly support 2004 as a date to implement.
Thank you very much. Yes. Appreciate you coming in today.
Hi, Chair Wilson and members of the committee. My name is Annette Newingham. I'm here representing the Oregon Association of County Clerks and Lane County Commissioners. And I support the bill with amendments to extend the date to 2004, excuse me, and to provide the adequate funding on it. Lane County has been using punch cards since the early 70s. Prior to that, we did hand count ballots, which I spoke to one of our old-timers and said that basically it took days to do that, and that was really the primary reason why we made that change, and I'm sure many of my other counties was the same thing. The punch card system has served Oregon very well. It is efficient, it is accurate, and it is cost-effective. But definitely in light of the fact that we've gone to all mail elections, an optical scan type of ballot where it's a paper ballot is much easier for people to use on the front end. I mean, that part we really acknowledge quite well. The cost is a major factor beyond the hardware, and that one is the fact that it's about 50% higher or maybe even higher than that on a printing cost than what we're due. And in addition to that is that it's much faster in the counting of the ballots. We don't have the problems that Florida experienced, and the reason we don't is because we are a voter intent count state, and we do pre-inspect ballots, whether they're optical scan or their punch card, and we look for those hanging chads to take them off. And that is what's made us efficient and be able to count them accurate. But they are not designed for at-home use. They were for Votomatic systems. And in light of the issues, as long as we can deal with the funding, space requirements is an issue that hasn't really been brought up at this point in time, but my county is a good example of others as well, where we would have to go from 3 card readers to possibly 10, and we don't have the space to be able to incorporate those at this point in time. So our costs are beyond the actual software and hardware, but there's other issues that we have to consider, and that's why we're asking for the time to 2004 to give us the time to get the right system.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hughes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tom Hughes, and I'm a resident of the city of Hillsborough in Washington County. I'm here today as a private citizen, but in addition to that, I'm also mayor of the city of Hillsborough and a civics teacher for the last 27 years. And so I speak in, out of some of those experiences today in support of this measure. I would echo what other people have said. I also had trouble with the punch ballot, and as I've watched the jokes flowing across the internet about how stupid the voters in Florida must have been to not be able to use that system very well, I reflect back on how difficult it was for me when I punched the number of the ballot measure on the card, thinking that it was the right vote, and turned out to be the exact opposite vote of where I wanted to. So I was forced. In my case, I punched both of them out in order to negate it. I think that there is a difficulty in terms of how frustrating it is to use that ballot, and I'm particularly concerned as a local government representative that it's the local government offices that tend to get neglected as people vote in the ballot measures and vote for the presidency and become frustrated and say, the heck with this, that it's the city council and school board races that oftentimes don't get voted in, or the school issues. I think that the evidence that was presented earlier and the evidence that came out of the national election, that there's a clear difference in terms of the accuracy of the hole punch ballots versus the optical scan, really raised the issue that was at the core of the Bush versus Gore court decision, which is an equal protection issue, in that as a voter in Washington County voting in state elections, I have a right to expect that my vote will be as likely to be counted the way that I cast it as anyone else in the state. And I feel that with the hole punch ballot system, I'm not getting that protection. In addition to that, there's a whole credibility issue. The issue now having been raised by the federal level, is one that everybody is relatively sensitized to, and on a daily basis, as I'm trying to encourage 18-year-olds to exercise the franchise and become part of the system, the frustration that we all went through with respect to the election is an issue that they constantly raise. And I think if, as policymakers, if we simply say this is a problem, but it's not a problem we're willing to spend any money to solve, that we really send that message to both to the voters and to particularly the young voters that it isn't a problem that we care about, that the accuracy of the election system is not something that we're concerned about. And I think that it's important to turn that issue around and return credibility to our election system. Any questions?
Thank you. Questions? Representative Doyle.
Thank you. As for Ms. Dewingham, the example we were shown on the punch card ballot, is that typical for your county as well?
That is correct, yes.
Is the, I guess, the machine that counts these punch cards, does it have to be in this kind of format, or is there, can it be adapted so that maybe there's only like say, five holes to punch per card, and then, I mean, you're talking about the efficiencies and the accuracy. I mean, if people have, you know, maybe about five cards they have to punch or more, I mean, and just turning those in, is that an alternative, or is it just not possible?
There is a different type of system that uses where actually you could have the print on them, and then but they still have to punch out the position. There's a couple of different options, but then you'd have to have quite a few cards. It would be maybe 10 or something for a large county such as Lane County, Washington County, Clackamas County. And that becomes real problematic because then voters are going to get like 10 different cards and they may lose a card, they may forget to return a card. It becomes a little bit more complicated. I think that if there was a choice of that, plus that's very expensive printing-wise. So yes, the card reader could use that, but I don't know if that would be assisting the public. The other type is having something where it doesn't punch out, but it reads an optical scan and has all the numbers. But again, then you're doing the association, and if you're trying to get away from having two pieces of paper that the public is using, then you wouldn't want to do that because that's not going to help people. They're still going to have to do the kind of translating. There's a lot of choices, but none of them are perfect, really.
Okay, thank you.
We tend to focus strictly on hardware when we talk about the conversion, the hardware costs to the counties. What have you heard from your members? You made reference to it a while ago, the costs incurred by needing to find more room for the equipment. How grievous is that situation with any of your member counties?
Well, quite a few of them are up to the point where they cannot expand or they're working in real confined areas. We always use our space wisely, but when you get to a general election, which that was a classic example of the worst case scenario where we're having to use every bit of our space to conduct an election accurately and efficiently. And having a really organized where you're not moving your ballots around a lot, because the more you move your ballots around, the more you're at risk. And that's not good. We've seen that happen in Florida. We really want to give people accurate and safe elections that they can feel good about, like all voters would want. So you have to have an adequate amount of space to work so you can manage it. And some of us do not have that right now. We're really on the edge. And if we had to put more vote counters in with more staff to conduct those vote counters, we would have to make some changes.
Thank you. Other questions? Representative Berger.
Yes, Ms. Nunez. Is it your understanding, you're with, the Oregon Association of County Clerks, which is probably one of the most tightly knit organization of friends I think I've ever been involved with. Is it your understanding that of the two-thirds of these counties that have changed from punch cards to other kinds, did it on their own, or do you think that they did it through grants, or what is your feeling on that?
Well, I believe that most of them have done it on their own. The majority of them are smaller counties, not to say that it's all relative, because the cost and expenses within counties certainly have everything to do with how much budget they have to work with. What makes it a little bit more problematic with the larger counties is the fact that we have many more ballots to count. Multnomah is one exceptions to the large counties going to an optical scan. Next size down is Marion County, which is smaller than my county. And when you're dealing with that volume, the time to count the ballots is reduced greatly. My card readers can count about 1,000 cards per minute. The optical scan counties, it varies, because the fallout, about 20% of the ballots are kicked out for various problems, because voters maybe make a mark, they erase it, they do another one that might read it as an overvote. They have to do a lot of manual processing on those ballots, and it slows the counting down. And because they only count about 200 to 300 ballots per minute, you have to have many more to count the same amount of time. In addition to that, some of the counties, like Multnomah being one of the examples, had to produce two ballots, where I only had to do one. So I had 156,000 ballots I counted. It'd be twice that amount I'd have to count if I had had an optical scan similar to Multnomah County. So those are all real issues and concerns, because voters, the citizens already, we've been criticized to some extent, saying, why did it take you so long to count ballots? Part of that was perceptions, because everybody was still counting ballots after the election, but we had a close race, and so they couldn't call the election in our state, and that was a lot of the issue. But some of it was also because optical scanning is slower in counting ballots.
Follow-up. Well, of course, we get that same criticism in Coos County, and they don't have punch cards of why does it take so long to count the ballots.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that your association will feel if the state were to step in and fund six counties, whereas the other two-thirds have had to work hard to earn their own way?
Well, it's a very difficult situation. I think that we all feel we could have all been in the other situation. We could have been one that had changed several years back and don't need to make the change now, and they would be in a situation where they were forced to make a change. And I think we would be supportive as a whole. Certainly, we would all want to be reimbursed for our costs if you're looking at the individual counties. But realistically, I think at this point, if we are forced to change during a very rigid time frame, we would feel, I believe they would support that there'd be funding provided.
One more last question, please, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And would you consider 2004 not a rigid, or you would consider it a rigid time frame?
I would say that it's at least reasonable, where 2002 is not reasonable. And the reason I say that is a very good example being that I have been trying to contact on behalf of the 8 counties that were left to make the changeover some of the system vendors. And one in particular, I've been trying, and I've called 3 times, and they've not returned the call. Even one time I had a lengthy call. They said, yes, they called me back. No, they haven't done so. It's very difficult because right now nationwide everybody is looking for systems, and we're in competition with them. Because we do central counting versus precinct counting, the money is more with precinct counting. They're going to make more money for them. And so we're just not the high-interest state. I think we need the time to get the adequate vendor and the right vendor that's going to provide us support so they don't desert us when we're in the middle of a real high intensity election.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you
so much for attending today. Secretary of State Bill Bradbury, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It's a pleasure to see you.
Good to have you here.
For the record, Bill Bradbury, Oregon Secretary of State. It's a pleasure to appear on this issue, and I'm particularly happy to be following Clerk Newingham and others. And I really basically want to say as forcefully as I can that I think we've heard all kinds of things about punch cards. Okay, in terms of the elections in Florida and the rest. But what I really want to leave you with is the idea that punch cards are not very voter-friendly in a vote-by-mail environment. And that's the point I want to leave this committee with, is that punch cards do an okay job of recording the votes, but the real point is punch cards are designed to be used in an election, on a polling place stylus, where there's a much larger series of things to point you to the hole you're supposed to push. And at home, you're sitting there and you get your glasses on and you try to go between, let's see, I'm supposed to push number 62 to vote no on measure 61. And then, you know, you look and you get your glasses on and you find it and you punch it, and then what's really difficult is once you've done that, it's real hard to, I mean, it's not impossible, but it's difficult to sort of go over how you voted. And so I just want to, that's the main point, I think, is we're now a vote-by-mail state, and punch cards are not that voter-friendly in a vote-by-mail state. I have been working real hard to try to develop significant federal cost share to help us make this transition. I testified early March before Senator McCain's Commerce Committee, where they were considering election reform. One of the real priorities that Congress seems to have is to basically help states and local governments phase out punch cards. It's very clear that there will be, or can't be said there will be, it's likely that there will be significant federal assistance to get this job done. And Ed Dennis has handed out to you a summary of the various pieces of federal legislation that are under consideration with some highlighting on the cost share matches that are involved. So I think that we do have an opportunity. I think that the amendments that are going to be proposed to Representative Hill's bill are good amendments that relate to trying to get this done before the 2004 presidential election, and also recognize that there is a Ways and Means impact, and that hopefully it could pass the floor of the House and then go to the Senate, and then go to the Senate Rules Committee, and then Senate Ways and Means, which is a joint committee. Hopefully that can be the result. I think that this will definitely be a step forward for the Oregon election system if we can really conform our balloting system to our vote-by-mail system. With that, I'd be more than happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Walker.
Chair Wilson and Mr. Secretary, a question I asked earlier before you were here was, have there been any discussions about counties cooperating? Some of these counties obviously may not have a lot of funds. Others will, if they had a neighboring county that they could work with and putting this system in place.
I'm not personally aware of those discussions between the counties, but I think that would be a very appropriate question to representatives of the County Clerks Association as to whether they're exploring working together on counting ballots.
Thank you.
Other questions? All right. Representative Brozier.
Yes. I'm just looking here. The matches and some of the language here that's been underlined talking about the lowest quartile of income in the state actually won't be appropriate too much with Oregon, because most of the counties that will need to make the change are our largest counties with the highest incomes, not our lowest. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Now, is there some of the bills have that only make it available for poorer counties and
right.
the like?
Right.
We'll just have to see how this whole thing sorts out in terms of the federal government weighing in.
Just to follow up. That would be my fear that, you know, a lot of it would be aimed at the smaller counties, which in Oregon have already made the change.
The questions, Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Secretary, since looks pretty conclusive that the punch card has a higher inaccuracy rate, and the equal protection statutes federal constitutional issues are sort of mandating this. Do you see it as being a state mandate that we'd have to pay for, or based on it being a federal issue, that it's not that we're just having the counties come up to federal standards?
I've said all along that if we as a state mandate that the counties make a change, we should pay for it. I've said that all along, and I would stick to that. I think that what's interesting about this time period is that we really do, really, frankly, for the first time ever, have a significant opportunity to get real assistance from the federal government as well as the contribution that would be necessary from the state.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Next up, I will have Mary Catherine Nall, and I hope I have your last name correct. And Elwin and Mildred Bay, please. And why don't we have John Kaufman, Clackamas County Clerk, please.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Devil.
While they're coming up, can I encourage the committee members sometime in the future, those that are not from punch card counties, to attempt to punch 50 or 60 of these chads out and see how long it takes them to get them to actually depart from the actual sheet? Because I think it might demonstrate to some people the difficulty of what hanging chads really mean.
I've caused a traffic jam here. I might have Mr. Kaufman take a seat right there in the first row, and we'll pull him up very quickly. Thank you very much for being here today, and I will let you determine who goes first. You can identify yourself for the record, please.
You want to? Okay. I don't think that what I have to offer is perhaps quite as much in line with what we're talking about. It has affected more, I think, the difficulties that they might have had down in the Washington County offices in getting the corrections made on cards. In my case, I had the papers came to me that had some mistakes on them as far as name and address. So I went downtown and made a correction, I thought, and that was fine. They said they'd send me the corrected material, which they did, and that was fine. The corrected material was correct. And a week later, there came another, a whole set of cards, corrected material. So I could have voted early and often, like Mayor Daley, and been a really star performer in the vote count. But I didn't. I went down, and we got it corrected that time, and it worked out. So I don't know if that was really relevant as far as the punch cards were concerned, but there was something in the system there that did need correction.
Thank you. Could I have you give us your name for the record, please?
Oh, yes, Mildred Day.
Thank you.
And I'm from Forest Grove.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Who's next?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, committee, I'm Edwin Day, Forest Grove, Washington County. I'm here to vote, or pardon me, to present an argument in favor of the changing of the system. I think primarily I'm concerned about accuracy. The punch card system at home using the mail-in ballot requires the conscientious voter to make sure that what they punch is what they've the issue or the person they want to vote for. And as a candidate for Forest Grove City Council, I'm very much aware of how important that vote can be. In my own case, I was obliged at the last special election to make sure the chads that I had left over matched the holes in my ballot. So I was obliged, if I wanted to make sure that my intentions were followed, that happened. I suggest another couple of reasons. I echo Mayor Hughes' points. This is a bit more accurate than the current system. If we have a reader card, it would seem to me it'd be not only more accurate, but earlier. You'd have earlier results. You wouldn't have the hang-up so much in close elections. So it seems to me logical that we go from one system to a more advanced system. And finally, I would like to express my interest as a voter and a citizen of the state. If there's a possibility of federal funding or some matching funds, we should, to the extent possible, take advantage of that opportunity for those counties that need help, particularly in my own county. I'll be glad to respond to any questions you may have.
Sure. Thank you for your testimony.
Not at all.
Thank you for coming in for Forest Grove.
Yes, I'm Mary Catherine Nall, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I recently moved to Oregon and voted in November for the first time in an election here after being here a couple of months. My daughter has lived here for at least 11 years, and she said, Mom, it's going to be a little complicated. Well, that was an understatement. There were pros and cons, but my frustration came in the punch card numbers not corresponding, in the fact that I'm trying to deal with it on one side, and until after the fiasco in Florida, was totally unaware of chads, pregnant chads, hanging chads, and all the dimple chads. I know a lot more about voting with a punch card than I ever hoped to know. But it left me with questions, because when I voted, when I was finished, my daughter was there that evening, and she said to me, Mom, you need to go over it again and be sure you didn't make any mistakes, just like your college professor would always tell you at the end of an exam, double-check your answers. I thought, this is ridiculous. I voted, you know, for a long time now. But I said, okay, I'll do it, and she helped me. I had circled in the booklet that's mailed out what my vote was to be in each issue or candidate. Well, when I double-checked it, sure enough, I did have one wrong. So I pick up a Chad, got a little tiny piece of scotch tape, put it back on there. And at the end, at least on the ballot, there was a place for me to write a comment. So on the comment section, I wrote on issue, on number whatever it was, I voted incorrectly. I have taped the Chad back in. I wanted to vote this way. So if anybody was able to take the time, they would know what my intention was. To me, I shouldn't have to do that, and that's confusing. And then after Florida, you know, watching the elections and seeing the fiasco in Florida, then it raised the issue with me of, did my vote count? You know, did that one get thrown out? Did the whole ballot get thrown out? and I take voting very seriously. And so I just think the whole system doesn't work very well, as everybody's been saying today. It's just not voter-friendly. And if you look at the little sheet I did for you, I have a long resume of moving and voting in different states and ballots overseas. I make a big effort to vote. It's very important to me. And in other places, it has been easier at different times. I must admit, in Florida, at the time I was in Florida, I didn't have to use a punch card. But one of the most friendly ones I used was in Oklahoma, where I was last, and it was simply the person's name or the issue with part of a line, a blank space, and the arrow pointing to what you want to vote for. So you simply fill in the line for the arrow to point at exactly where you're voting. And that was done not by mail. So it was like sections like this with little partitions in between, so you had some privacy, and you were handed a special felt tin of some sort to fill it in. And I'm assuming I never made a mistake in that, in not having the lines go to the person or issue I wanted them to. But if I had, I could have gone back to the people, you know, sitting to the side and said, I messed up my ballot, and they would have given me another one. And then when I was finished with my ballot and connected all the lines, then I put it in a machine that immediately, I assumed, is counting. It looked like it was tallying the vote as they were put in the machine. Now, obviously, here we're voting by mail, and this is my first experience in doing that. And I think it was great. It turned out that for the election, I was back in Oklahoma on business, and so I would have been voting absentee ballot anyway. And it was great to know before I left for that trip that my voting was taken care of. But as I said, on election night, when all the hoopla came out with the Florida votes and the chads and everything over the next few days, I had real questions about did my vote count in Oregon in a very important election. I'd like to say that as a positive thing with the election here, that particularly with the amount of issues and candidates I had to vote for in Washington County, I was delighted to have the booklet that was mailed out, even though I understand with both mailings it was very expensive to do so. I appreciated having that information on both sides to help me being new in the state. There were many people I didn't know enough about, and that was very helpful. And I don't know if you have any other.
Well, thank you very much for your testimony. Do we have any questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Kaufman, Clackamas County, and also along with him, Paul Snyder from AOC.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. My name is John Kaufman. I'm Clackamas County Clerk. I almost don't know where to begin. I support the bill. I would like to go from punch cards to something that's more voter-friendly. That is something that we have wanted to do in Clackamas County for some time. To answer one of the questions I heard earlier, As soon as the voters of Oregon voted to go all vote by mail, we started talking in Clackamas County about shifting to something like an optical ballot. But before we could do that, I had to upgrade our complete election system, and that was a task that was pretty difficult, and I didn't want my staff to have to do too much at once. So the next step was to be switching to an optical ballot, and then comes Florida. So we want to do that. Multnomah County, being the largest county in the state, I thought it'd also be instructive for you to know that Multnomah County's current system was built on another system, and Multnomah County never used punch cards. So they've progressed from one kind of a system to another without doing the step of punch cards. But we talked about, or I heard some conversation about accuracy and integrity of the ballot, and I want to read a couple of paragraphs from an article, and I didn't bring copies of it, but I can leave it here if you want to see it, published in the Chicago Tribune, January 28th, from Orlando, Florida. more than 1,700 votes that showed a clear choice in Florida's bitterly contested presidential election were discarded in the 15 counties that had the highest rate of rejected ballots. An examination of discarded ballots from those counties found that in 5,000 other cases, apparent presidential votes were lost because a variety of mistakes made it impossible to be certain of the voter's intent. Contrary to popular perception, the highest rates of discarded ballots in Florida's contentious race for the presidency came from 15 counties that used paper ballots filled in by pencil, not punch card counties. You know, the initial media hit that we got after Florida was with all of those recounts being done, and we all have indelibly printed in our brains that guy holding up a punch card to look for light. Well, every county in Florida basically had the same problem because they did not pre-inspect their ballots. And what I've handed out to you are some samples of the creative ways that voters, whether you're a punch card county or an optical county, some creative ways that voters vote. Sometimes they don't read their instructions, sometimes they make mistakes. The first sheet, the note on the stub says voting straight Dem ballot. And you can see that the copy of the punch card shows no holes punched. Well, because this ballot was pre-inspected, the county that received this ballot was able to duplicate the ballot and count the votes that the voter intended. The next page, similar to a comment made a minute ago, the voter wrote in the remarks column over here, I punched number 88 by mistake. Well, again, because these ballots were pre-inspected, this voter's ballot was duplicated and the voter's intent was taken into consideration. Then you have another punch card ballot. I'm sorry the copy is not too good, but you notice on the right-hand column an X through a hole. And it's pretty clear to me that the voter voted one, punched out one hole, intended to vote the other, and so again, this ballot would have been duplicated. I'm going to skip ahead two pages. You have a copy of a ballot from Yamhill County, which uses one of the optical systems in Oregon, the kind that you fill in the arrow to do your vote. And here's a good example of a voter who couldn't make up his or her mind about president and voted for every candidate for president. And you can see that that's pretty clear. And then he or she changed his mind about two of them. The next page shows an example of a voter who voted and then evidently erased and made another vote. Mm-hmm. If this ballot had not been pre-inspected, as they were not in Florida, this ballot would have been counted as an overvote in that race. But because this was pre-inspected in Oregon, just like we pre-inspect the punch cards, this ballot was duplicated and the voter's intent was reflected. And the next page is a sample of the ballot that's used in Multnomah County, where you have an oval beside the name of the candidate. And here, this voter, you see in the middle column toward the bottom, made a mistake or, you know, voted incorrectly in this contest, and very clearly crosses it out, writes the word no, and then circles the name. So again, voter intent is pretty clear, but it had to be visually inspected before we could count it. The next page shows how this voter, instead of completing the arrow, simply circled yeses and noes. And if this ballot had been run through without a pre-inspection, these all would have been counted as undervotes. Same thing with the next page, circling a candidate's name or circling the arrow. You know, it may or may not, you know, the computer may or may not read. And then if I could have you turn to the very last page in the set, those of us who use punch cards think that one of the potential problems is that voters can be more creative in the comments they give to us. Writing none of the above. You know, my point in showing you this is just to say that the optical ballots are not going to solve a lot of the problems that we have with punch cards, but I definitely agree that punch cards are not voter friendly. As was commented earlier, you have a format booklet. You have to find the number that corresponds to your candidate and then go to the punch card to find the right number. I definitely agree that that is something that I would like to change, but I just want to make sure you get the picture that, you know, there's more to it. And then finally, I want to comment on the costs again. As Annette commented earlier about the costs, I looked at reports that are filed after every election with the Secretary of State. I looked at the reports that we filed in Clackamas County, reports from Marion County and from Multnomah County. And looking only at the costs of the ballots and the printing for those election or for those ballots, just that component, because we all use envelopes, we all had voters' pamphlets, we all had personnel costs and postage costs. But just looking at the cost of the ballot and the printing, Clackamas County's costs were 46 cents per registered voter for our punch cards and the printing of our formats. 46 cents per registered voter. Marion County's cost was 80 cents per registered voter. Multnomah County's cost was $1.52 per registered voter. As Annette mentioned, they had to print two cards because of the number of issues they had, and then they also had to include a large sheet that contained the text of the statewide measures because that wouldn't all fit on their cards. So that would be an ongoing cost we'd also have to be prepared to pay for.
Thank you. None of them we can trust. That's interesting.
Yamhill County.
Representative Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Kaufman, the reference you gave to the news story in Florida, when they referred to paper ballots, were they referring to scanned ballots or were they referring actually in some cases to actual paper ballots? Because there are many states that still in some counties do have actual paper ballots. You know?
Mr. Chair, Representative Devlin, there is it's a large article, and I will leave this so you can get copies to read, but I'm sure that they're talking about ballots that were read optically by computer, not hand paper ballots.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Snyder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. And we have not taken a position on the substantive bill, House Bill 2587. But we do have somewhat of a standing policy to resist mandates that are not funded. With respect to this measure, I think that the Legislative Fiscal Office analysis of Measure 30 or Measure 84, Section 15, Article 11, is fairly accurate in terms of the way it depicts the effect of the measure on those particular functions of the county government and what the options are with respect to that. If there were possibilities for mitigating the costs of passing this measure, we would support that. If there were federal legislation forthcoming to offset these costs, that would be an improvement as well, and a delayed effective date would also be helpful in that regard. And, Mr. Chair, that's about all I've got.
Thank you. Questions? All right. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Last to testify will be Steve Druckenmiller, Linn County. Welcome to the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Steve Druckenmiller, and I'm the Linn County Clerk. I've been county clerk for 15 years, and I was the election supervisor there for 3 years before that. Linn County is the first county that did vote by mail in Oregon, and we're very proud of that. Now, I'm not a very good public speaker, so I'm going to ask your indulgence here. I get really nervous, and I'm the one person that if you support a bill or oppose the bill, and I'm on your side, you don't want me to show up. And you will know that is true when I am done. I put down on the sign-up chart that I was opposed to this bill. I have to say that I am speaking only for myself on this, and I find myself in a unique position. In 1998, when the voters made vote-by-mail permanent, that week I started working with our data department to research new systems that we could go to. I did so because I was looking for something more user-friendly, and as the Secretary of State has pointed out on numerous occasions, optical scans are friendly. Punch cards just, they're not real helpful to the voters in lots of situations. I've discussed this matter since then with our budget committee at the county level. I've had support to make this move. In my budget for this year, I've proposed $200,000 for a new system. I'm going to be, I'll hopefully be able to get that because, I've had support. I have a problem. I have a problem with the state telling the counties, mandating to the counties, especially the elected clerks and the public bodies, you shall not do this. I have a problem with that because I think it leaves a stigma about what we've done before. And punch cards have worked very well in Linn County and the rest of the state when we had poll elections. And we have the recounts to prove those. This is not Florida. I've passed a handout to you. I'm going to do something. Representative Ridger said about us being a very tight-knit group. She's right. She really is. And most elections officials, because we go through difficult times, a lot of pain with time constraints, you tend to build up some sort of camaraderie. And so you don't want to speak ill of someone who does the same job you do. But I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Because I think a lot has been lost here with the Florida experience. And I think it's put things out of perspective, at least in this state, about what we do. I've handed out this to you, and it says recommendations to pass toss paper ballots in Florida. And it goes on to talk about getting rid of the punch cards and paper ballots. But you know, that really wasn't the problem in Florida. The problem in Florida was people. It was partisanship on the local level and on the state level. You had a Secretary of State and local elections officials who were not working together, and that was very clear to me. We have never had that in Oregon. I have served with 4 Secretaries of State and 6 elections directors, and we have approached elections on a lot different playing ground than what I saw in Florida. And we've done recounts for, you know, state races, Congress, and we've come out of those reaffirming what we've done here. I did a recount for the state treasurer's race from the primary on the Democratic side, and the hand recount matched exactly the computer count using the punch cards. So I guess what I want to say is I think punch cards have worked well. I have yet to talk to a county clerk, however, who comes from a punch card county who doesn't want to change. Because we're on the front lines. We really hear from the voters. And then what you heard today really was just the tip of the iceberg. There was the question, too, about ADA, and I'd like to answer that. They don't even like optical scan. They've come out against optical scan, saying that wasn't friendly enough for them. So you have great diversity in the elections community about the effectiveness of what system to use, but one thing is certain, and that was illustrated, I think, by Mr. Kaufman, is they all have problems. Do I think the county should pay for these? Yes, I do. And I say that to you because, as county clerk, I would tell the state I've been elected to make certain decisions. The Secretary of State's office has a revolving loan fund, which I'll be applying to. There's a 7.5% interest rate, and Either we're the elections officials or we're not. And I think banning punch cards would be a very, very bad idea and the message we'd be sending to the public. Oregon has never had a second-rate election system. Every Secretary of State I've worked with has been a wonderful individual. Their staffs have been. And I can tell you the other county clerks, close as we are, yes, we care about the voter. And what we've done before I think should be respected. As for accuracy of the recounts, again, Linn County was right on, and I've read articles from the state of Washington where they've done recounts, and they have found that the punch card counties were 4 times more accurate in the recount than the optical scan counties. In addition to that, there are ways of communicating to your elections official with punch card counties about what your intent of that vote, your vote is, and it's always respected. The last thing about the, and I have not been privy to the graph that was pointed out, but there have been articles about the over and under votes and the great differences in the numbers between them. I would point out to you that those are true, but they're not as bad as they look, because to have a valid write-in vote in a punch card county, it's got to show up as an under vote. Because if not, someone's overvoted their ballot. So when you see those numbers, unless you see that it was taken into consideration the number of write-ins in the county, you cannot arrive at a true undervote, overvote total for those. And that concludes my testimony. I think I've proven to you what I said when I started out. I'm not a particularly persuasive speaker. I do believe the things I've told you, and I would welcome your questions.
Thank you, Representative Dreyer.
Mr. Druckenmiller, I'd just like to make one comment. That is, you may not be persuasive, but you're very effective.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Further, Mr. Druckenmiller, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity of addressing this committee.
Anybody else want to testify on this bill? All right, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2587. Let me reopen the public hearing on House Bill 2650, and I understand we have no one to testify on that. We can confirm that. I'll move on. Okay, thank you. No one to testify on that. Representative Hill already has. We'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2650. I don't see the proponents here at the moment for House Bill 2129. Oh, there they are. Oh, excuse me. There they are. I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2129. Committee, if you'll pull those bill files out, I'd like to explain something to you on the fiscal at this point, and that is that Co-Chair of Ways and Means, Representative Westland, has taken a look at that being the fiscal analysis from LFO, and has requested that we send that to him. He's comforted somewhat by the fact that we're talking about other funds there, and his intention is to include that in the DSL budget in a ways and means process. It is other funds, and with that respect, he is not extremely concerned about that. Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, are you awaiting a motion?
Yes, I am. Yes, we do have amendments, and you do see those. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Dash 1 amendment for HB 2129.
Representative Devlin moves the Dash 1 amendments into House Bill 2129. Do we have any discussion? Any objections? So moved. Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 2129 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee with the two staff's recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Devlin moves House Bill 2129 as amended to Ways and Means with a two staff's recommendation. Any discussion? Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be voting for this bill today, but I'd like the DSL to kind of look in it long term, some more efficient and effective ways of getting to the end claim property provision. So I'll just state that for the record.
Thank you for that. All right, further discussion? Seeing none, Michael, you call the roll, please.
Representative Douglas?
Aye.
Representative Doyle? Aye. Representative Gardner? Aye. Representative Roy? Aye. Representative March? Aye. Representative Berger? Aye. Representative Walker? Aye. Chair Wilson? Aye. And motion carries. Anyone want to hear? Oh, that excuse us, we're going to Ways and Means. All right, we will close the work session on House Bill 2129. We'll move the lumber over here to Representative Devlin, and I'll prepare to take some questions.
open a hearing on House Bill 3156. Will the committee administrator just give a brief explanation?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Bill 3156 comes from Representative Wilson. Changes the requirements for a state agency that's required to conduct an oral hearing on a proposed administrative rule. If that rule affects a limited geographical area, the state agency needs to conduct the hearing in the area that's affected, and it sets out requirements how to give that notice to the newspaper in general circulation in that
hearing. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I am Carl Wilson, District 49 State Representative, Grants Pass and Cave Junction. The reason I bring this bill to you is that in the last months, the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission enacted a rule that would have banned bait fishing on several sections of the Rogue River as it flows through my district and the adjoining district. And to put it very simply, the problem that the bait fishermen were up against in my district is that the meetings to discuss the rules that pertain strictly to this river and these two spots, the hearings were held a long ways away. It precluded anyone from my area to go, except for just a very few who were able to leave work and drive several hundred miles to do this. My attitude about government is that it should be accessible to its patrons, and this was anything but accessible. What we had were a number of individuals who had been fishing on that river for years. They had been going with friends, family, their children, suddenly were in danger of not being able to do this anymore on this stretch of river. But yet they would not only have to drive several hundred miles to deliver oral testimony, they would also have to miss work to do it. And these were working people. They were not retirees by and large. These were just typical constituents working for a living who had to take a day off of work to go to these hearings, which was nigh on to impossible for all but a few of them. So really it is a rather simple bill, and it is something that I've rolled out for discussion. I have not had any contact with anyone other than Fish and Wildlife folks on this issue, and really this is a discussion starter. I'm interested to see if anyone has anything to say. To me, it is a great bill that is perfect for your typical constituent, and I'm more than willing to answer any questions about it, but perhaps more than that, I'm interested to hear what other agencies may think or say. We've heard precious little so far about this bill. I'd be happy to answer questions from the committee on it.
Any questions? Representative Doyle and Representative Walker.
Representative Wilson, I guess as I look at this, it is a great bill, and I think it's something that we should be sure that we can get through this to make sure that government is more responsive to the citizens. I'm wondering if you have looked at the idea just of the teleconferencing as a method of conducting a hearing that's a local hearing, even though the individuals might be still Salem or Portland, if, you know, that might just be a little bit more cost-efficient, but still reach the, I think, the issue that you were going for in this bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Doyle, I would consider that perhaps a stopgap fallback measure that I would be amenable to. There's still nothing like coming to the community and bringing the issue to the local folks. If you're going to be doing something that really affects them, nothing like taking the show on the road, taking it to them, and looking into their eyes and making those pronouncements after listening to public testimony. So I'll lay my cards on the table. Only as a fallback position would I consider that. I'd much rather the way the bill states. I do want to say, too, I don't think there's any great plot on behalf of government to legislate against your typical constituent. It's just the way things have always been,
And I think part of this process is we need to look for ways to make government more responsive and forget about the way things have always been and try to look for good ways to make improvement. And this seemed like one.
Yes, Representative Walker and Representative Berger.
Thank you. Representative Wilson, I like this. And as you know, my background's in administrative law, and I conducted a lot of hearings. One thing that I see is limited geographical area. And I would like to see that perhaps defined a little more, because sometimes we have areas that are very wide. I mean, is it a geographical area that is eastern Oregon, or is it a geographical area that's southern Oregon? And I know many agencies that conduct these field-type hearings that I've had contact with, it would be someone that was within a 200-mile radius or a 100-mile radius and those kinds of things. Would that be something that you would be willing to look at, and that way we could have it have hearings and perhaps be located within 100 miles of Klamath or 100 miles of Bend or wherever it might be?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Walker, I do thank you for your concern. My natural inclination is to like the bill exactly the way it is, because defined by reasonable people, I would expect a certain result. But knowing the process like I do, and you knowing the process as you do, your concern is certainly with foundation. Because I can see in passing a bill like this, leaving the words limited geographical area to the interpretation of the hearer, that could lead to problems that I think you're trying to forestall by that. In that this is an initial hearing on this bill, if that is deemed to be a problem by the committee, I would certainly be willing to perhaps link this to mileage or perhaps even a census block of some kind that can be perfectly defined for the next 10 years. Those are things I would be open to, because I would not want the effectiveness of this bill to be diminished by an agency trying to take advantage of the very verbiage that you're addressing. So I would be willing to, as you well know, I love this committee and trust its judgment. And so if you, as committee members, deem that a difficulty, I would be more than happy to take your advice on that.
Representative Walker.
One follow-up. The reason I make that point is that if someone says, well, Southern Oregon, and the issue has arisen on the Klamath River, for instance, down south somewhere over in the Klamath area, that they don't want to hold the hearing in Grants Pass or vice versa. So that was my idea. They say, hey, it's all Southern Oregon from up here. Or in eastern Oregon, they want to hold a hearing in Bend for someone that's out in Lakeview or something. Mm-hmm. So that was my concern.
Certainly. Well, I note that, and I will be happy to give that consideration. I certainly will.
Representative Berger.
Yes, Representative Wilson, along that same line, during my mayorship, I used to get so irritated with the public notices. They would be in the back in the legal section of the newspaper in tiny, tiny print that there was going to be a public hearing. And I kept fighting that until at the city, we kept making those notices in the run of the newspaper, and we had many people to come. But kind of along the idea of Representative Walker's idea of defining it, I think if it's going to be you've stated what they need to say in the public hearing, but if it's going to be in minute legal print on the last page of the newspaper, not many people will see it and come.
Mr. Chair, Representative Berger, thank you for the comment, and I'll be happy to take that under advisement as I do some work to this one. Thank you.
Representative Wilson, congratulations. This is, I can't imagine why this hasn't been done before this. Just a suggestion on what Representative Walker was saying, perhaps just the word inserted indicating geographical area affected or within 50 miles. 80 miles to somebody in Klamath can mean going to Medford, and Medford is a different world than Klamath, and we wouldn't like to do that. But if you said within 50 miles of the affected area, then maybe that might define it a little bit better. But again, just a suggestion in the spirit of your request to this committee.
Certainly. Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, thank you. Good suggestion. I do appreciate it.
Yes, Representative March, you're rapidly running out
of members,
Mr. Chair. But Representative March.
Thank you, Mr. Acting Chair. Representative Wilson, I think this idea certainly has merit. Do we have any kind of read on how many agencies this could affect over time? I mean, how many make these kinds of sort of limited geographical decisions?
Mr. Chair, Representative March, I do not, and that was part of this process. I thought I might meet a whole lot more of them today. Perhaps I will, but I'm not sure.
We'd need to move it on.
They'll
come out of the woodwork.
I think that's probably the case.
Thank you.
Any more questions for the witness?
We can probably work on it, Mr. Chair.
We can go find some of those agencies if you like.
Representative Wilson, do you have any concluding comments?
No, I don't. Thank you for the opportunity to appear before the committee, and I would be happy to continue to work on some language here. So thank you very much.
There's no one else signed up for this hearing. We'll close the hearing on House Bill 3156.
Another one just came
up. Representative Wilson, is there anything else for the good of the committee?
There is not.
With that, we will adjourn the committee.
You stole that. I stole